Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. I love all that God is doing in these wonderful days. God is mightily moving by His Spirit. He's always up to something good, and His heart is toward us. He speaks to us from the heart, and He loves His people. He loves all of His people. As we go forward in Him and learn of Him, He gives us greater capabilities. And things are set, we set things in motion that should be set in motion. Some things can't happen until we learn His ways and fill our hearts with His word and our choices and actions based on His word. Living the heart of God's word does things, and it gives other people a chance to do the same thing. If a man gets saved, his whole course is changed. All of his motives become just as renewed as he is. And when a couple gets saved, they both believe on Jesus and they love God. They're going to have children, and they'll train their children in God's ways to help and God is involved. God has interest in that family. He's going to use that family to help other families in many ways, just like we said yesterday, how the last broadcast we talked about how God moves in our lives and in our everyday actions and suggestions and opinions and our counsel, our advice, our influence can be word-based. And over time, it does a lot of good. It helps people grow. They see things that people that wouldn't normally read the Word of God get a chance to experience God through the lives of those who trust God. That's very important. The very words you speak are very important. And God can use it. God can use you mightily. And He always will, as long as you yield to Him. The yielded life is what I'm talking about. And never underestimate what God can do in your life when you yield it to Him. And I saw, I saw a third generation Christian yesterday, and I know her parents, and I know her parents' parents. Not gonna say who, but they're all blessed. And I saw the result of what happened a long time ago through this very thing. She came from a family who loved God, which came from a family who loved God. And the anointing is growing on her life. And I thank God for it. All the choices people make, it comes to a conclusion. It comes to a result, so to speak. But what if it was a God-based? What if it was word? What if it was word-based? All the words that came from the heart of God and their choices and their influence, everything that makes life wonderful is operating in their life. That's what I'm talking about. And it's worth it. Because when you do things in a godly manner, you solve problems that normally couldn't be solved in the sight of men. Solomon wrote something in Ecclesiastes, and he wrote Ecclesiastes looking back on his backslidden state. Now, I'm one of the Christians that believe that he returned, because in chapter 4 he says, "So I returned," and I hope that he did, and I hope I'm interpreting it right. But he wrote Ecclesiastes looking back on his time when he operated according to the world. Previously, he wrote Proverbs when he did things according to the word of God. when God gave him wisdom. God gave him a lot of wisdom. But the most foolish thing he did is married all those worldly women. And they turned his heart. And I hope for a time. Well, he wrote Ecclesiastes looking back on his time under the world system. And he said, vanity of vanity, all is vanity in the world system. Because the things of God are not vain, but in the world system it is. That's why I say these things. But in, it was chapter 1 or 2, he said that the same event happens to all. Whether you're wise or foolish, godly or ungodly, same event happens to everybody. You know, people in the world get divorced, and then people in God's kingdom will get divorced, and they have the same sorts of problems. They get sick. They run into everyday life problems, but the way we solve them in the sight of the world makes the difference. And over time, your life will be an open book for someone. For many, really. And your influence goes everywhere you do. Sometimes it's the things that you stand for that makes the difference in others' lives. Only God knows how many people will be changed because of one person's everyday life and their influence and their conversation. But I believe it's many. And God is not wasteful. He uses every opportunity we give him. So I'm encouraged to do all this in his heart. And these broadcasts he gave me to do, this is an assignment that he gave me to do. And I take it serious. I don't see who's listening, but I thank God for all who are. And I believe it's many. And I was thinking last night at church how I believe people that are hungry for the world are listening, because this is the easiest assignment I ever had in my life. And when people desire the sincere milk of the word and they want to know God, they activate my anointing. And even though these are recordings, there is a pull on that anointing, and I can feel it. Whenever I minister somewhere and people don't want the word, there's resistance. And you have to do warfare just to finish preaching, because the enemy is there, because people brought them with them. And they don't want to, some of them don't want to change, and some of them, the enemy don't want them to know God's word. But when people are hungry for the word of God, it's the easiest assignment you can have. Because the wisdom of God is joyous. There's much joy in following God's word. There's much joy in obedience to him. And when people are united, whenever there's two or three people in agreement with the word of God, Jesus is always in the midst of it. And it's fellowship. There's great strength in that. So that's why he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because it gives us a chance to grow stronger, to bond stronger, act as one body, to help each other heal, to share insight, that we may be more useful and have more joy in the Lord. We'll be more useful to God, and we'll have more joy doing his will. I don't see the work of God as a labor. It's not like stacking bricks. You know, it's not like unloading a cargo truck. But it's a privilege. And when I'm working, I listen to the word on my smartphone. You know, only rich people could have people to read the word to them way back in the Old Testament days, when most people didn't even have a copy of the Word of God. You know, if I was a king back then, I would have paid somebody to read the Torah to me all day so that I could hear it, so it could get in my heart. I learned that taking it, you know, when I listen to the Word of God, a calmness comes over me. A strength comes over me. I have literally been tired from working all day. And I work on the side so I can do the radio broadcast. And some days I'll be bone tired. You know, bone tired is when you can feel you just want to go lay down somewhere. But I have something to do. I gird up the loins of my mind. I go in there and start working. And I turn the Word on and I can work for hours. I can literally work for hours listening to the Word of God. And then my body got stronger and I got used to it. But it started with the Word of God. When I first started that business, I wasn't quite used to that. But over time, it was easier and easier. And I still listen to the Word of God as I work, as I drive. And it's good. God gives us strength. There's life in His words. If more people would probably pray and spend time with the Lord if they got in His presence more. Sometimes some Christians don't know that they can enter His presence and feel His presence as they worship Him. But worship is total agreement with the Word of God expressed. You're expressing your gratitude towards God because of who He is. It's a blessing that God exists. Sometimes I tell Him that. I say, Lord, I'm glad You exist. I'm glad You love us. I'm glad You set things in motion just like You're doing. And I learn to appreciate Him. And I ask Him my questions. And I wish more Christians would ask God questions, because I've received great answers. But I would love for more Christians to do it, because you'll ask God questions that I won't even think about asking. We're all different. We see things different. We have different designs. So everybody's very, very, very important. Some people, they want to do a great work for God. But remember, the greatest work for God that you can do is live the life of God. Live the life of Jesus Christ. Live with the mind of Christ. And you will be positioned into what you'll be doing, what you're best at. You may see somebody doing something you think you'll like, but God will take you beyond that. He knows what your design is because He created you to do it. But everything of God has to be by choice. You got to choose to do God's work. As we endeavor to get to know God, as we draw near to Him, may He draw near to us, He's going to teach you things and principles and prepare you for where He's going. And He'll take you with Him. He'll prepare you for what He wants you to do in ministry and in life. And you'll choose to do those things. It's got to be your will with God. See, God put two trees in the garden because He didn't just want man to be obedient. He wanted man to choose to be obedient. God is just like a groomsman. He wants to be chosen. When you finally get married, you're selecting one person. A man is selecting one woman out of the whole world that he's going to commit himself to forever, for as long as he lives in this world. So he wants that person to choose him. If he's wise, he wants that person to choose him just like he chose her. And if I was single and the woman that I liked and thought highly of, I would watch to see how she chose me. Because if she didn't chose me, I'm not gonna chose her. I will unchose her. But those that love God, they're gonna see him move. Those that choose God, they're gonna see him move in their lives. And the man that marries the woman that he chose her and she chose him, they have better foundation. God wants us to choose him. He wants us to choose his word in our lives. He wants us to go forward in all of his great and mighty works. See, the works is the easy part. Getting to a point where you have the courage to choose what's best for you. See, if you can win the internal battle, the external battle is very easy. It's a cakewalk. You win against Satan on the inside. Jesus won the battle of the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where he got his victory to do the work of a Savior. We have to be totally committed to the things of God, submitted to God. Then we resist the devil, and then he'll flee from us in that order. Always in that order. And if you try to resist the enemy and you're not right with God, it's not going to work the same. As long as you're not sinning. If you're in sin, then and you run Satan off, he didn't really run off. He just fooled you. He'll act like he ran, but he really didn't. Because he still got place in your life. And remember, perfect love drives out fear. And fear attaches you to Satan. When you destroy things like fear, doubt, unbelief, he has no place. He has no roots in you. He can't. What can he do if you don't fear him? He depends on you to fear him. He wants you to fear situations. He even wants you to fear other people. You know, wars have been started and will start because people fear another country. People start wars because of fear. Good couples that once chose each other to get in the divorce because of fear that they didn't deal with. Everything that can destroy you, you have to deal with it. You have to drive it out of your life, or it can cause you tremendous trouble. It can divide a home, a church, a business. It can cause bankruptcy. It can cause evictions. It can cause all kind of problems. Fear, doubt, unbelief. And the solution? Love. Hear God's word in love. Be receptive to the word of God. And that's how we win. That's how we stand. That's how we go forward. And that's how we prosper. There's nothing in the word of God that doesn't cause you to prosper. Everything that he said, everything from his heart, will cause you to prosper. And parts of God's word that describe what the devil did gives us insight so that we'll know how he thinks and we'll know how to defeat him. So we receive the wisdom of everything that God says and use it in its proper context. And then we'll win. The more we believe God, the better we're going to live. And the better our influence becomes, the better our conversation becomes, the more godly we become, and the more solutions we have, the more insight we have, the more we see. We win in life as we obey the Lord. We thrive in life as we seek His Word and learn His Word. And I thank the Lord for that. And we're going to see Him move in our lives. We're going to do the greater works of God as we go forward. Doing what God say do, taking Him at His Word, we're going to experience change on greater levels. Everything the Lord has given us to do, we can do it. We can win in this life. There's nothing we can't do in Him. And all those who put their trust in Him are very, very glad they did. No weapon formed against us can prosper. No weapon can prosper. But as we seek the Lord and go forward, we do it in the sight of the world. And they're watching to see what we do. We set the pace. It only took 10 men, the rest to spare the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities. Just 10. Remember that, because your goodness, your kindness, your godly influence can destroy rebellion. Now, we did several broadcasts about how rebellion forms. And now we're doing these broadcasts is how we thrive. And we're going to talk more about it. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. And God is going to mightily move in our lives, help us to grow. And remember, it's all about love. He's going to help us do what we have to do. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus truly is our Lord.